love for the bride. So I've seen with them just a true love for the church of the Lord. And that we thank you for. Thank you for the fragrance of Christ in his life. Thank you for the foundations that you are in him. And only by that he can be strong. Only by that he can be foundational. And he can be faithful. So please bless him. Bless Karin. Bless their family, God, in this season. And we thank you for them. What an honor. What a blessing. May it be your words this morning that just pierces the darkness, changes lives, and bring forth prophetically the kingdom of God in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name, God bless. Amen.
Thank you, Retief. Good good morning, saints. I just want to thank the worship team. I don't know, you might come here on a Sunday and look at a group of people who play instruments and sing. But God has shown me not just their value when it comes to what they can do, but who they are. Like when you see Demi, like I see a fire starter in kids' lives. Not because it's something that I've known. God has shown that to me. When you look at Kunrad, you might see in the physical a man who's able to endure, but he is a spiritual man who's able to endure. When you see Nettie, if you don't know her, she might look nice. but there's a spiritual mother of somebody who mothers people, who loves with compassion, that I did not know, that you won't see from a distance. Obed is going to be a brother to so many young kids who needs a brother to show them there's faith, there's hope, there's goodness. And my wife, like many years ago, when she saw me, she might have liked the package deal. This looks nice to her, to be honest. Let's be realistic. Anyway, but when she got to know me, there was some serious problems that she saw. And there came a time when she asked God? Why must I love this man? Why must I continue being subjected to hurtful things? Isn't it just easier if I let this guy go? Isn't it just easier if that what I'm experiencing, just take it away? I can be free and he can go and do his own thing. But God showed her, this is your husband. So she believed God and disregarded me. She did not look at what I did or what I said. She said, this is what God said. Therefore, it must be true. Therefore, I will stick around. And it comes to what we see. The title of this sermon is Seeing is Not Believing. And kind of ties in what we heard today is, are we seeing a mountain? Or are we seeing a valley? Are we seeing flats? Or are we confronted with realities that changes what we think? Do we see crutches and that is the way I'm going to be very comfortable in using these crutches? Look at how easy I walk with these crutches. Or are we seeing life? Abundance. Let's go to the next slide. Yaku, what do you see? Okay. Beyond the pond. Is there something, the focus? What's the focus of this image? What do you see? What do you see? A horse. Who sees a horse? Who sees something else? What do you see, Rolf? Okay. So which is it? Okay. So it seems we look at the same picture. And yet, the person next to us sees something completely different. Go to the next slide. What do you... Umsu. Like, well, you are one in flesh, let's be honest. So it is Tani Su in Um Philip. Um Philip, what do you see there? Listen, who does not see a dog in that picture? Can I see a hand? We have one. Can you not mention anything? But then us. Okay, what? Maybe we should. What? Do you see a cat? Do you also see a cat? For a moment, a lot of you were convinced that there is only a dog there. You did not see the reality of the cat. In fact, if I told you that was a cat, you would have gone and looked for the cat. So often, we are confronted with realities that we make up our mind. That this is what we see. We see a mountain. We see a situation that is unchangeable. And we are confronted with this, and this is what we have. God, why have you given me this mountain? We are unable to change our perspective because we believe with our eyes. We see, and therefore we believe. And this can be a problem if we are called to do something, just in a natural sense. As a parent, you ask your son or daughter, please do this, and they say, Anya is a very good example. You tell her to go and find something. She comes back immediately, it's not there. It's just not there. But you, even though you know it's there, she has already made up her mind. And then when you send it back, it is this tug and war of screaming, it's not there, I can't find it. She can't find it. Like, she has already believed that it's not there. She doesn't see what you see. And that's just in the natural. That's just in the natural. We see in 1 Samuel 16, God sends Samuel to go and anoint the new king, a man who has the Spirit of God upon him. And he goes and he looks at all the sons, and he says, this must be the one. Look at him. A man of God. And yet God says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we see here a man of God, unable to discern who is the king. Now, you might tell me, well, Pietri, I'm not going to anoint a king. So, that might be true. But Scripture also tells us how we should look. Because if this man of God interpreted what God said wrong, then there must be a right way to look. And we see in John 7 verse 24, it's pretty clear where it says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. We see there is actually a way to judge correctly. And Samuel didn't do it there. And then it can become actually a bit more specific. Not just will God say how we should judge, that we should judge correctly, but he tells us how to judge. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we come to recognize there's a pattern that our eyes aren't trustworthy. What we see with our eyes, we can't believe it. Seeing is not believing. We cannot trust our eyes to make right judgments. And the problem is, who has made a poor, or who has made a judgment error in their lives? Can I just see hands? Great, so we have a lot of sinners. And the result, what is the, Bron, what is the result of an error in judgment? Does good things come from an error in judgment? Bernard, what is the result of a bad decision? Yes. That is ultimately bad judgment will lead to death. Because we are fixed on what is seen. We hold on to temporary things. We've spoken the whole year about what anchors us. But if your anchor is in something that's temporary, a job, security, money, prestige, honor, it's temporary. That anchor won't last because it's not eternal. And we see, even at the beginning, at creation, the same problem. These people, Adam and Eve, dwelt with God. There was no sin yet. God created the trees and He says, the trees that I've created is pleasing for the eye and good for food. He says, come and enjoy my creation. And then in the Garden of Eden, He says, and the Lord commanded man, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die. So we see, just don't go on yet, God has creation, and then He has a command. The trees are good to see, and the food is good to eat, yet within it they say, of that tree, it is not good to eat, nor is it good to look at. Because it's God's word. The very God's word that made creation is saying that this tree is not good for food. And then we see Eve did not heed God's word. She looked at it. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, we see confusion coming in. God said, all other trees are good for food. This one is not. And yet Eve considered the tree. She saw that the tree was good for food and that was a delight to the eyes. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Going away from what God said. The word of God, let me consider this tree. We have a similar, I'm not relating this to, but there's a similar issue we have at home. We have a chest freezer that broke down. Tried to fix it. Didn't work. And then I found out there's like an internal leak, which means it can't be fixed. My sister reminded me, but you have insurance. I said, yes. So I got somebody to look at it, to give me just a statement regarding this freezer. And when I spoke to the insurance, they said, they're only able to deal with things that broke in the last 30 days. The thing is, I don't know when it broke. But I'm pretty sure it's not in the past 30 days. And yet, I can look at that freezer. I can say, my goodness, I kind of need it. We kind of need it. And then I can look at my insurance and say, I've paid monthly for the past 10, 15 years. I've invested. This is what insurance are for. When things broke, insurance comes and fixes it. Or I can just see that the Word of God says that don't lie. It's very clear. I have no assurance that that chest freezer broke in the past 3 days. In fact, I'm 99.9% it did not. And yet, when I look long enough at the chest freezer, at my bank balance, and at the insurance, it can become good for me to see that the insurance will be able to get me this chest freezer. When I consider it long enough. And we see the same problem with Eve. What did God say? Because that is greater than what we see, what we experience, what we want. Because Eve looked at the good things. It's not that there was nothing bad about the fruit. It was good. God made it good. Yet God said this one tree is not good for food. So we see we are, even Eve, there was no sin. She was helpless. We see Samuel having the Spirit of God, helpless to make proper judgment because our eyes minister to us and we believe what our eyes see. And it has only become worse because the Word of God says we are in Adam. Like when Adam sinned, death came into our lives. We are born into death. And just to completely see how helpless we are, Amy, just go on, please. We see in Ephesians 2 that says that we are dead in the trespasses and sin. Ephesians 4 says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. 1 Peter 2 verse 8 says, they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. And then we see Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, we are dead in our trespasses. We are in darkness. We cannot see. We are blind. The word also speaks about us being blind. When the prophet speaks of Jesus coming, they say of a great light has come to a people who have lived in darkness. And the Lord spoke to me, I think it was 6 weeks or 2 months ago. He dropped this word in my heart, from darkness to light. And it took me very long to understand what this really means. Because I made the very same error that Samuel, that Eve, and everybody else did. I looked at Scripture, and then I wanted to become a theologian. Now I need to break this all up. What does this mean? What is the context of it all? And then I go into so much depth about what is God really saying in this text, and what I missed it. I looked with physical eyes to training that I've had. And I said, because my training says this, this is how you address or look at Scripture. Expository. You break it open and see what did the original writer say to the original audience and how can we apply it. I missed it. I completely missed it. Because I was in darkness. I was in darkness. And the word God gave me is in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, the end part of it, out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that word out means you are submerged. We can't see. I can't see. I was blinded. And yet we see we are helpless. Those who are drenched in darkness, covered, can't save themselves. A few months ago, I spoke of, I can't remember specifically, but oh, I had stuff on again. A cloak of heaviness and ashes on the head. And the only way we're able to get from our state to a state of oil of joy and having the all those other things that I can't remember now was through salvation. We could not get out of darkness by ourselves. We needed to be saved. And Christ, our Savior, takes us from darkness into His marvelous light. And so we see in ourselves we are helpless. And yet there was one who was not helpless. There was one who judged correctly at all times. And we see Isaiah the prophet speaking of this messenger, prophet, or king who is going to come, the Son of God. And he says in Isaiah 11 verse 3, "And he will delight in the fear of the Lord." I don't know if you remember, just earlier we said we saw Eve delighting in her eyes. She delighted in what she saw. And therefore it was beautiful to her. And yet here we see Isaiah speaking of this Jesus that's to come. "He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make decisions by what his ears hear." Jesus, the Son of God, did not trust his eyes to make judgment. He trusted the Word of God. He said, "He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by his eyes, nor with what his ears hear." And then we see Jesus in John. We often have the contradiction of light and darkness in John. And we see in John 8:29, "He who sent me is with me, nor has he left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." We see if Eve did what pleased God, she would not have ate of that fruit. But she delighted, she looked, she considered what she saw. In John 5:30, Jesus goes on to say, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. I judge as God tells me." Bernard spoke of mountains. What does God tell you about your mountains? Stephen spoke of crutches. What is God saying about your crutches? Or are you considering and looking it with your own eyes? And have you become comfortable with your crutches? What are you seeing? Are your eyes on the temporary or in the eternal? Are we asking God about our families, about our relationships? What are we seeing when at work the situation is not changing? Stephen has been in a work where if you asked that before he went to that, will that be your dream job? He would not have. In the physical, it doesn't make sense. Yet God has an eternal plan with that. The people around him might not even be godly. In fact. And yet God has an eternal plan with it. The question is, Stephen, what do you see? Are you looking at the temporary things? Am I looking at the temporary things? Am I looking at the fact that there's no money for the chest freezer? Or am I delighting in the Word of God? It says, do not lie, Petri. Act justly. Be kind, merciful. We see Philippians 2 verse 8, Jesus, having a life of obedience to God, said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Maybe your circumstances has brought you to death. And maybe you still can't see the cat. Maybe all you can see is death. God, how can this change? How can this situation change? Look at God, you can't see. And God's asking, but what do I see? Have you asked me what I see? A city as that example is of the dog and the cat. If I ask you to close your eyes and explain how this cat will look with his paws stretched out, that is all you would have seen. But trusting your eyes, you've already made up your mind. This is it. How can any good come from anything else? Let's go into the next slide. Like when I started, I mentioned what I saw about Demi. Did I mention something about you? No. Sorry, bad night. But that's not about it. But I believe this is part of my testimony. A man who, as much as I love the church, I love even more if things work. if things are just, if everybody knows what they must do, Petri is, then it's great, man. Then church works. Then I don't have to, you don't have to care. You don't have to be invested. If everybody just knows what they are doing. If my daughters just would listen at the first time, if I said, this morning I was confronted with, how many times do we have to repeat the same thing over in our house? And then God said, how many times do I have to repeat things to you, my son? And it took me very long to understand. I need to see people how God sees them. I can't love them if what I see is already made up thing. Oh, Demi sings nice, and she believes in God. Yes, that's it. There's value. There's eternal value. We can't call ourselves a church, or I had to come to the point where God speaks, where I had to ask Him, Lord, but what do you see, Lord? Because what I see, what I do in my own strength is not sufficient. Because let's look at Bernard. He sings well and he looks well, and but we can fall into, what do you call it? As jy iemand half pie of net mooi praatjies. Flatter. You can fall into flattery when you say temporal things. When we look at the temporary. If that is all I see, then it becomes flattery. But if I ask God, God, what do you see when you look at Bernard? What is the hope and the future? So that when I then speak those things over Bernard, it's not my words. But God makes me part of His plan. And therefore, I can look with such expectation when I see the guys in the band, when I can walk with them, when we can talk, when we can discuss. And it doesn't mean this is easy. It doesn't mean that the mountain suddenly disappears. But it means that if God says it, it is true. If God says it, it is true. And therefore, I can stand here today that and say that it has took me very long, like, time to actually understand what out of darkness into His marvelous light mean. But that is my testimony. For me to see, I had to die to my own eyes, to what my own eyes see. I had to lay down my interpretation. I had to stop considering physical values or what I see to deem to be valuable. And God has blessed me with people around me that I am filled with hope that He established, that He has poured in my heart. John 8:12 says, Jesus speaking says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to encourage you, this morning is an invitation to walk in light. This is an invitation to speak to the dark areas in your life, to the dark areas in your heart, to the dark areas in your families. Broken relationships. There's an opportunity today to ask God, what are you saying? What? Shed your light on those darkness, dark areas, God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. If we identify to Christ, with Christ, by our baptism, we are dead to ourselves. We no longer walk by sight. We are no longer even in the garden. We have so much better. We can now walk in faith. We don't have to be Samuel. We can wait on God. Wait till He says, this is what I'm looking for. This is the King. Wait to look at the heart. And we have to confront the enemy, that is the flesh. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus' life, we stated early, He did everything to please God. He did not judge with His eyes. Jesus Himself did not judge with His eyes. He lived a life in obedience to please God. In the flesh, we can't please God. And through Him, we've received grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for His name's sake. Let's go to that last page, please. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This morning there's an invitation. I think first to consider the darkness. God, where has darkness come in? Where have I come to believe the temporary things? Where have I come to take hold of the temporary things? So that we can confess our lack of faith. So that we can be restored. And then we can ask God, but God, what does the eternal look like? What do you want to do in this job? What do you want to do in my family? Where do you want to put me, God? What do you want to do in my wife's life? Are you just happy for your wife to do the works that she does? Or am I willing to say to God, Lord, please show me what I must do. How must I invest myself in my wife? Maybe there's people in church. Part of that scripture that I got completely wrong, it says, we are a royal priesthood. And for the life of you, you can't see the guy next to you as a royalty. God says he's a special possession, and you're like, I don't see it. But if God says that he is a special possession, he is a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, then that is what he is. Baron, that is what you are. You are a royal priest. Isn't that amazing? We're sitting amongst royalty. A holy people, set apart. But what do we see? Are we following God's word? Or are we going to look at our eyes? We're going to trust in our own eyes and our own understanding. Please stand with me. I'm just going to pray for us. Love has a name. Hope has a name. And it's Jesus. Victory has a name. Joy has a name. Overcoming has a name. There's a Jesus, that very Jesus speaks over your mountain. And if he says it will be cast to the sea, then that is the truth. He says these are royal priests in his place, and that is what it is. Lord, we bring ourselves before you today, God. God, where I repent myself, Lord. Where so often, Lord, we look at our age and we look at our training and we consider ourselves wise. We look at how long we have known you as if that means anything, and then we consider ourselves wise. And Jesus, you came and was the example, and your example was that you did not judge by your eyes or by what you hear. What did God say? Is the tree good for eating, or is the fruit not good? What did God say? What is the eternal command versus the temporary satisfaction? If, you know, in this moment just of reverence, just raise your hand if God has reminded you of an area of darkness where you are unable to see the light, where you've looked at your circumstances and you've just seen darkness. You cannot see light. Just raise your hands if that ministers to your heart. You're unable to see light. You just see a mountain. Lord, I just bring those hands before, these people before you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your compassion, Lord, for them, God, is displayed on the cross, God. God, in our inability, Lord, to bridge the chasm, to see from the darkness, God, you offered your Son, Lord. And Lord, therefore, we can come, Lord, repentant before you this morning. I myself, Lord, and say, Lord, I repent, Lord, of believing my eyes. Please forgive me, Lord. Please use this opportunity, Lord, just in your own words. Come repent of believing your eyes, looking to the temporal, that which satisfies in a moment. Lord, and then there's opportunity, Lord, now, God, where God, you want us to recognize, Lord, what it is that you say about the people in this church, Lord, about ourselves, Lord. Maybe you have never heard the words, "You are my beloved." And God speaks over you this morning and says, "You are my beloved." And you says, "But," and God says, "You are my beloved." Not what you have done, not how well you are doing, or I would like, if only you can concentrate a bit more. No, you are my beloved. You are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. God says He delights in the saints. We can delight in those around us, not because they're perfect, but because God says He delights in them. He enjoys them. They are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, set apart, God's special possession. If you find it difficult to see people like God does, where you've been hurt so many times of what people have said, what people have done, what church people have even done. If you find it difficult to believe those things, just raise your hand. I believe there's a real place for restoration. I would like anybody, after those who see people not with their own eyes, like if you can see people as God see, then I don't want you, or then I want you not to raise your hands. But if you see people with your own understanding, that you see their faults before you see the light, you see the darkness before you see the goodness, if you see the hurt that they have done before you see their value, then I want you to raise your hand. This is opportunity for God to come and restore our hearts. There are more hands. God is laying this on my heart. There are more hands. Allow God to bring restoration. To circumcise your eyes. We can love one another in faith. Because not of what we see from somebody, but because what God sees. An eternal hope, an eternal future, an eternal destiny. Lord, we bring these hands before you, God. Lord, we pray, God, that you will come and restore our hearts, Lord. Uncircumcise our eyes. Cleanse our ears, our hearts, Lord. Break down those walls that the thief spoke about. Break down those walls, God. Come and restore us to see what you see, Lord. So that we can believe what you believe, Lord. So we can run, Lord, and not look to what we see, but what do you see, Lord. Amen. Thank you, church. If there's anybody who would like intercession or prayer, Retief and myself will be in front. Please join us for cake with Jolene. I really look forward to Jolene. I've got a word for you. Yeah, later. Later. But yeah, please come in and stay with us. It will really be good to spend time with you. Thank you.